Hello, and welcome to this week's Liverpool Live podcast. I'm Jake Cottrell, and I'll be discussing the main news stories in Liverpool, plus a roundup of the latest sports headlines and what's going on in the city this week. Coming up in this week's show, we'll hear from the chair of the Merseyside Jewish community on how to tackle the rise in anti-Semitism and the growing cyber hate on social media.
Anybody who is involved in communal aspects of the Jewish community is well aware of the increase that there has been, both on a regional level and a local level. It's palpable. People are aware of it. People are talking about it. People are worried about it.
Plus, Ed Miliband says he'll double the amount of paternity pay available to new fathers if he gets elected in May. But how could this affect small businesses? We'll hear what the people of Liverpool think.
Small businesses that are owner-run, I think you'll find that the owners themselves will find it very difficult.
But first, Merseyside police have now reopened the busy Smithdown Road route to and from the city centre, having earlier warned that it could remain shut following a fatal shooting at the weekend. Forensic detectives were still at the scene on Monday, searching for evidence that could assist them with their investigation into the shooting of 17-year-old Kevin Wilson, who died on Saturday night. The incident at the junction of Smithdown Road and Holme Street resulted in a huge police presence, including armed patrols. Smithdown Road had been sealed off from Lodge Lane, but is now open again. JMU reporter Lewis Meller joins me now in the studio. So Lewis, what's the reaction of the local community been to the shooting?
Well, obviously a lot of people have paid their tributes to the teenager, with many school friends and ex-teachers expressing their feelings on social media. Kevin's former head teacher at Edmonton County Comprehensive has issued a statement saying that the school is shocked and saddened at the news. I think a lot of people are concerned it's an area which in the past has had a bad reputation, but in recent years the police and the community have worked really hard to prevent incidents like this, and they will continue to work together in the future to provide a safe community for residents.
How can people get in touch if they have any information on the shooting?
Police are still appealing for any witnesses or any details which might help to piece this incident together. And if you do have any information, though, you can ring the Matrix Serious Organised Crime Team on 0800 230 0600 or Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111.
Thanks, Lewis. A new report by the All-Party Parliamentary Group Against Anti-Semitism says the country must tackle the disturbing rise in anti-Semitism and deal with the growing cyber hate on social media. Liverpool MP for Wavertree, Luciana Berger, was a recent victim of this, receiving over 2,500 hate messages on Twitter. Ms. Berger said last week that digital media companies need to move faster to remove accounts being used to spread and incite hate. Ian Cohen, chair of the Merseyside Jewish community, told our reporter Johnny Coop he is not surprised at the huge increase in anti-Semitic incidents.
I think there's a very clear need to increase education on issues relating to anti-Semitic content, issues relating to knowledge of Holocaust, so that people outside of the Jewish community are fully aware of all relevant issues and are better educated, because a lot of the time anti-Semitism comes through ignorance. Regulation in relation to social media, this is very, very difficult. But we've seen, again, in Liverpool itself, of issues in relation to Liverpool Football Club when they put up a New Year greeting to the Jewish community, and that was then subject to a torrent of Twitter abuse that forced the club to bring it down.
Do you think there's a low level of underlying anti-Semitism, like casual? I mean, because I've been on the terraces and I've heard it as well, and I've been to away games. I went to Tottenham last year with Everton.
Yeah, I mean, look, there has always been anti-Semitic comments in all sorts of different environments. It's known as the oldest hatred. So it's always been there. There's always been anti-Semitism on the football terraces in different formats and in different... It comes across differently at different times. So it's always there. The question is, on what we're talking about specifically, is the increase in anti-Semitism, the increase in threats felt by the Jewish community. And that's certainly something which we've witnessed in the last 12 months. I mean, you know, the figures speak for themselves. In Liverpool alone, we have just sort of a 100% increase in anti-Semitic events, as reported to the police. So it's definitely there. I've been going to Liverpool as a season ticket holder for the best part of 30-odd years, and I've never witnessed anything openly at Liverpool. As I said, there has been an incident recently on social media platform.
And so were you surprised with the report last week that it was the highest recorded for 2014, the amount of incidents with hate crime? towards the Jewish community?
No. Anybody who is involved in communal aspects of the Jewish community is well aware of the increase that there has been, both on a regional level and a local level. It's palpable. People are aware of it. People are talking about it. People are worried about it. We don't yet have the situation where many people are talking about leaving the UK as exists in France. But everybody is aware of it. Everybody can sense it. It is a subject matter which we're all acutely aware of. You know, the school children are told to be careful when they're out of the school with anything that shows them that they come from a Jewish school. This is new. This is something very new to us, and it's something which is we've got to get on top of now, because as soon as you start to tolerate it and deem it as being acceptable, which has been the problem for the last 10 years or so, and certainly the last few years or so, insofar as social media, that casual words slip into what becomes acceptable, and that then translates itself into being acceptable for people to be anti-Semitic. And so, yes, we're very conscious of it, and we're also not surprised at all by the increase that's come about.
A newspaper article a few months back that a family moved from Britain to America, citing reasons of anti-Semitic hatred towards them. Do you know people in the Jewish community in Liverpool that are perhaps at that extent, that they would want to leave?
No. The Jewish community in Liverpool has been here for hundreds of years. It's an integral part of the melting pot that is Liverpool, you know, the whole concept of world in one city. We have very good relations with other faith-based groups, and that will continue. We do not feel in any way more threatened than in other parts of the country. And if anything, if we look back on our history, it has always been a very tolerant environment in Liverpool. That said, we've seen a 100% increase. So people are monitoring and are watching the situation, but I'm not aware that anybody is talking about leaving Liverpool as matters currently stand because of the increase.
That was our reporter, Johnny Coop, talking to the chair of the Merseyside Jewish community, Ian Cohen. Labour have announced plans to increase paternity leave for new fathers. Ed Miliband says that if he's elected in May, he will double the amount of leave available from 2 to 4 weeks. The chairman of the Merseyside Committee for the Federation of Small Businesses, Elaine Moore, told our reporter, Ben Matthews, that the proposals would be a burden on small businesses. Ben has more on the story now.
The plans proposed by the Labour leader would also see a rise in how much dads were paid during their time off. It is expected that the amount received would be around £260, a £120 increase on what it is now. The major problem arising is how it will affect businesses of a small workforce who cannot afford the financial clout to cope with extended leaves. Elaine Moore spoke to me about the implications this could have.
Well, to be truthful about it, Ben, businesses have legitimate concerns about these proposals, and it's important political parties understand that the practical implications of policy changes. Altering paternity leave so soon after introducing shared paternity leave, which comes into force in April of this year, has the potential to cause confusion among businesses. This means that small businesses in particular, extending paternity leave for 2 to 4 weeks makes it much more likely that they will have to buy in replacement staff as they will struggle with absences. And that's a cost that some firms will really struggle with. So to be truthful about it, it's too quick. It's much too quick to enforce.
I spoke to a couple of small business owners this morning in Liverpool. And they told me that they, when they had their paternity leave, they could only do 1 week max at a time. So this change is quite a step up.
Obviously, you know, it's not easy for small businesses to cope with staff shortages at such at certain times, right? So yes, it's going to be a burden on small businesses going forward. It certainly will.
Obviously, it's just proposals for now, but do you think long term there could be a problem for small businesses in the future?
Well, absolutely. It's just barriers to growth going forward. And, we're hearing about all kinds of different changes, legislation that comes in. This is just another barrier.
That was Elaine Moore, chairman of the Merseyside Committee for the Federation of Small Businesses.
Our reporter Ben Matthews there, speaking to Elaine Moore. The issue of paternity leave was a topic that divided the people of Liverpool when JMU journalism went onto the streets this week.
It's hard to, especially if it's your first baby. You need some support.
I think it's rather daft, really, because I can be able to pay somebody else another 4 weeks, like, holiday. One person should have certainly not both.
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant idea because then they get to spend more time at home and bond with the babies rather than rushing back and forth to work and home.
More businesses that are owner run, I think you'll find that they generally, the owners themselves will find it very difficult to take more than, and I don't think, you know, when we had our kids we didn't take more than a week, we couldn't afford to do it time wise.
For more on all the latest news, sport, entertainment, views and reviews, follow us on Twitter at JMU Journalism and come back often.
Liverpool Mayor Joe Anderson has requested a meeting with Merseyside Police and Crime Commissioner Jane Kennedy, as well as representatives from Liverpool and Everton to ask questions about the police presence at this weekend's Merseyside Derby. With more detail on the story, Dan O'Brien joins me in the studio. So Dan, why is Mayor Anderson so upset over the Derby policing?
Mayor Anderson is upset over the high numbers of police that were deployed around the ground for the Merseyside Derby between Liverpool and Everton this weekend. There were more than 250 officers deployed at Goodison Park in a 17-hour operation, which is estimated to cost around £80,000.
Why was there such a high police presence?
Merseyside Police were afraid the late kick-off between the rivals would lead to a high chance of alcohol-fuelled disorder taking place between the fans before, during and after the game. They said the game could pose a high risk of disorder, this game should take place at 5:30 as it would put extra strain on the emergency services. This of course led to Merseyside Police going to court to attempt to get the kick-off moved to an earlier time.
Why was there a legal bid from the police?
The legal bid came as the Council Licensing Committee rejected the police's request to move the game. This led to the police going to the Magistrates Court to legally move the game to an earlier time as they felt their resources would be stretched. The legal challenge was rejected and the game went ahead as planned.
How was the game in the end? Were there any problems?
The game was very incident-free, both on and off the pitch, with it finishing 0-0 on the pitch as neither side could break the other team down. Off the pitch, there were no incidents reported of drunken disorderly at the ground, around the ground or in the city centre, despite the increased police presence.
So why has Joe Anderson said he wants to launch this meeting?
Mayor Anderson said he wants to speak to representatives from both the clubs and Merseyside Police and Crown Commissioner Jane Kennedy about the heavy police presence at Saturday's eventless game. Mayor Anderson also wanted to know why the police presence was three times as many as other evening kickoffs at Goodison Park, such as the high-profile games against Manchester United and Manchester City.
It has been revealed that banking giant HSBC helped wealthy clients across the world evade hundreds of millions of pounds worth of tax. The bank was investigated on this week's BBC Panorama programme. Our reporter, Eleanor Finn, has more.
HSBC says it now has fundamentally changed after being accused of helping rich business leaders and celebrities dodge tax. Labour and the Conservatives are now involved in a row over who's to blame after The Guardian and Panorama claim to have seen leaked documents showing the bank allowing tax evasion. Here is a clip from the latest Panorama documentary.
The bank that helped clients break the law. Now HSBC's secrets are out. It starts with a leak. HSBC's private bank in Switzerland deals with wealthy clients. Now we know how. The stolen accounts were leaked to the French newspaper Le Monde. The International Consortium of Investigative Journalists shared them with Panorama and The Guardian. They show widespread tax evasion. Like Stoke City director Keith Humphreys. Notes on a family account say some of the money is not declared. HSBC didn't report him, they helped him, arranging a foreign credit card so he can spend the cash without paying tax. I caught up with him at a Stoke game. Was it all about tax?
Well, completely confusing.
Well, let me just ask you a few questions. It's really helpful. Were you a signatory to that account? And did you tell
me? I don't know what account you're talking about.
I think you do, sir. Helpfully, a few weeks later, Mr. Humphreys remembered that £147,000 had been paid back to the taxman.
Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg has accused Labour of letting the banks run riot of their watch and said it will take worldwide cooperation to stop tax avoidance.
This latest revelation just simply shows what a sophisticated industry it was to allow particularly the wealthiest in society to avoid paying the tax which they should pay.
HM Revenue Customs have now worked through all the Lagarde data and as a result, tax, interest and penalties have been paid by those who hid their assets in Switzerland to avoid paying tax. The decision to prosecute will be made by the Crown Prosecution Service. More trouble for the HSBC as the judge in charge of a Belgian investigation is considering issuing an arrest warrant for the group's directors because they are not cooperating. Belgium charged the bank in November last year over accusations of offering diamond dealers and wealthy clients in Belgium ways of hiding cash and evading tax.
That was our reporter, Eleanor Finn.
For more on all the latest news, sport, entertainment, views and reviews, bookmark jmu-journalism.org.uk.
A new anti-domestic abuse campaign called Be a Lover, Not a Fighter has been set up in the run-up towards Valentine's Day this weekend. It's been set up by CHAMPS, who are a collaboration of public health services across Merseyside and Cheshire. One in three women and one in six men suffer domestic abuse in the UK by their partners. The campaign aims to create awareness of domestic abuse and is asking the public to upload pictures or videos of heart hands as a pledge of support. Our reporter Hannah Kane spoke to Matthew Ashton, the Director of Public Health for Knowsley and Lead Director of Public Health across Merseyside and Cheshire, who is spearheading the campaign.
We've been doing some work on this locally in Knowsley and across Cheshire and Merseyside, and what we've come to understand is two things really, that the scale of the problem and people's understanding of what domestic abuse actually is. It's about recognising the signs at an early stage, recognising that relationships aren't all healthy, understanding what unhealthy relationships are, and absolutely that getting out at an early stage or altering behaviour at an early stage so that people don't fall victims of domestic abuse.
Do you think with this campaign running, it might have an effect on abusers of domestic violence in any way?
I hope so. I mean, the campaign is not targeted at abusers or at victims. It's targeted at a general population level. But we think that some of the messages that we're using in the campaign will help people to recognise their own behaviour, understand and recognise their behaviour, and hopefully amend some of that as well. Lots of work goes on around domestic abuse across Cheshire and Merseyside. So we have services available for people who have been a victim of domestic abuse, and we also have some perpetrator programmes, so programmes for people who are abusers, where we can get people to kind of recognise that they are guilty of some of those behaviours and access appropriate services. That's also a good thing.
Is there any specific reason why it was leading up to Valentine's Day, the Be a Lover, Not a Fighter campaign?
It's to do with the message of the campaign. You're absolutely right. The name of the campaign is Be a Lover, Not a Fighter. And obviously with the theme of Valentine's being in the middle of the campaign on February 14th, which is obviously about healthy relationships, we think it's a very good opportunity to start raising awareness of what unhealthy relationships are.
Do you think the campaign maybe may help some men where there is a stigma attached to domestic violence? Do you think it might give them the confidence to bring up the issues of domestic violence if they've suffered it themselves?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, I was talking to somebody yesterday who was a male victim of domestic abuse, and he was telling me about some of the issues that he felt when he was in that relationship, so kind of guilt and things that you just don't want to talk about because it makes you feel kind of unmasculine to admit that you're a victim of domestic abuse. So I think hopefully this campaign for both men and women will be around raising awareness of the issue and helping people to actually talk.
With the campaign, they're asking people of the general public to post a heart with the hands for pictures and videos. What was the reasoning behind this?
All that is about having a heart and getting that message out into our communities and getting people to share that and kind of, again, publicising the campaign and what domestic abuse actually is and the levels of it.
Do you think by this campaign and people being informed of the effects of it, do you think in general that will make society a better place in terms if they witness domestic abuse or they suspect a family member or a friend of suffering from domestic abuse?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this to me, this is about an awful issue that should not happen, that is far too common in our society. And any way in which we can help raise awareness of that issue and reduce the prevalence of that issue is a good thing. Any way we can result in having one less victim or one less abuser is a fantastic result for us. And that's why we're asking people to wear the Be a Lover, Not a Fighter badge, to pledge their support at the lovernotfighter.org.uk website, and to talk about domestic abuse with their friends, with their family, within their social networks, and use social media wherever possible. And we really hope that by people using these techniques, these approaches, that we'll get to an end of domestic abuse.
Is there any advice that you could offer to anyone maybe suffering the start or in a domestic abuse relationship, like as a first form of what they could do if something was happening and they wanted to tell someone or speak out? Is there any advice that you could give to them?
Well, I think the starting point is talk to people's friends and family. They need to talk to their friend and family and talk through what's going on and recognise whether it is an abusive relationship or not. And if it is, then seek help. There are domestic abuse services out there that are absolutely life-saving in many ways for victims of domestic abuse, and they're available for people. So talk about it.
Do you think councillors and MPs across Merseyside and Cheshire do enough in terms of domestic abuse?
I think there's an issue in general around awareness of levels of domestic abuse. So not just councillors, not just MPs, and not just kind of public sector workers, to be honest. I think we have for years not really understood the scale of this thing, and it's really important, therefore, that we do start to talk about this, that we do have conversations about it, and we do look for ways to reduce the acceptability of this and to stop it happening in the first place.
Do you think with this campaign and the awareness gained, do you think there might be a possible danger if people see domestic abuse, they might interact and maybe cause more problems for the victim suffering?
Well, the campaign doesn't ask you to do that, and obviously, you know, that's not something we'd particularly condone either. We don't want people to stand by and see people being beaten up, but we're not asking people to kind of get involved. We want people to help where they can help. So understanding what the signs and symptoms are, understanding what domestic abuse actually means, and talking to people about it.
That was JMU journalism reporter Hannah Kane speaking to the lead director of public health across Merseyside and Cheshire, Matthew Ashton. Now let's find out the latest sports news from our reporter, Bethan Tolley.
Leading politicians are urging the Premier League to put more of the £5.14 billion raised from the sale of domestic TV rights back into grassroots football and into reducing ticket prices. Sky and BT Sport agreed a record deal for live rights this week for three seasons from 2016 to 2019, a 70% increase on the current £3 billion contract. Sports Minister Helen Grant has described the Premier League as a great British success story, but said the TV deal should bring increased benefits to clubs lower down the football pyramid. Gary Lineker and Jamie Carragher are among those who have said the increase in revenue should be reflected in cheaper ticket prices. As part of the current TV contract, the Premier League says it has invested £56 million in grassroots football in each of the last three seasons, but it is unclear how this will be affected by the new contract. Mario Balotelli was the hero as Liverpool beat Tottenham Hotspur 3-2 at Anfield this week, keeping their Champions League push on track. The Italian came on as a substitute and turned home his first Premier League goal of the season from close range to hand Liverpool all 3 points after an encounter in which Spurs had twice come from behind. The result keeps Liverpool within 3 points of the top four and extends their unbeaten league run to 9 games. Everton lost out to Chelsea 1-0 this week at Stamford Bridge, despite Roberto Martinez feeling confident for the team. The Everton boss said his side would have to be outstanding in every department to get a result in West London, and though they were far from pitch perfect, they deserved to leave the capital with something to show for it. Liverpool lightweight Derry Matthews says he has what it takes to win a world title. He would challenge Richard Abril for his crown at the Liverpool Echo Arena on Friday 6th of March. The boxer realises a win will turn his life round and be given an opportunity to go up against British rival Kevin Mitchell. Monbeg Dude is set to take the next step on the road to Aintree in this Saturday's Betfred Grand National Trial at Haydock Park. The 10-year-old horse, trained by Michael Scudamore, finished fourth in the Coral Welsh National on his most recent start. Monbeg Dude, who is a favourite for the feature race at the Merseyside venue this Saturday, is a best prize 8-1 with Paddy Power behind the 11-2 market leader Benvolio. The former Welsh National winner, who was 7th in the Grand National last season, is one of 6 horses left in at Haydock who ran in the Chepstow feature in December. And Liverpool has been announced as the host city for the 2019 Netball World Cup. The city will host the 15th World Cup, taking over from Sydney, which is due to host the tournament later this year. It is the first time the tournament has been held in England since Birmingham held the competition back in 1995. I'm Bethan Tolley, and that was your sports update for the week.
Now let's find out what's on in Liverpool this week. It's Valentine's Day this weekend, and there are plenty of things going on in the city. You can enjoy an evening of poetry and romantic music from the Liverpool String Quartet this Friday at the Blue Coat. The event, Valentine's Day by Candlelight, is ideal for couples looking for a romantic way to celebrate Valentine's Day. Or you could, of course, go alone if you like. The show takes place from 7:30 till 9:30. Tickets are available on the Blue Coat website and include canapes and a glass of Prosecco on arrival. If that sounds a bit too romantic for you, you could always go and watch the Chase star Paul Sinner's stand-up comedy routine at the Slaughterhouse instead. Best known from ITV's Tea Time quiz show, The Sinner Man will entertain you from 8 o'clock this Friday, with tickets available from £11. Finally, there's the exciting return of Educating Rita. The iconic Liverpool play hasn't been performed for 13 years, but it's back at the Liverpool Playhouse Theatre to mark its 35th anniversary. Rising Liverpool actress Leanne Best and stage and screen actor Con O'Neill star in the revival of Willie Russell's bittersweet comedy. You can go and see Educating Rita from now until the 7th of March. Tickets are available from everymanplayhouse.com. That's all from this week's Liverpool Life podcast. A special thanks to this week's editor, Ruby Molyneux. I'm Jake Cottrell, and thanks very much for listening.
This has been the Liverpool Life podcast, brought to you by the journalism students at the Redmond's News Centre. More next week.